Les colloques du Collège de France.
So, hi again, everyone. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you once again to the organizers, Antonin and Alessandro, for having me presenting this joint work with Philippe. So you had more than a preview this morning with a great presentation by Philippe. This is also joint work with Xavier Jaravel, Thomas Michaelsen, Alexandra Roulet, and Jacob Sogar. And so today's presentation... will be divided into two different parts. So the first part will be actually coming back to what we saw with Philippe this morning. It's a paper on France, how different uses of AI shape labor demands evident from France. This has been recently published as AI papers and proceedings. And in the second part of the talk, I will present some preliminary results we have from a work in progress in Denmark with the same set of co-authors. So, going on with the first paper, so maybe it's not useful also given that I'm not the first to talk today, that it's obvious that it's essential to better understand the effect of AI adoption on employment at the firm level. Why is that? Still, because the impact of labor market is expected to be significant. Studies estimate that 19%, so Philippe mentioned these figures this morning, so this is the ILO, to 60% for the IMF, of jobs in advanced economy could be impacted by AI in the following decade. And so this is why you need to understand how AI is impacting labor markets, but also what do you want to also have this information at the firm level, because you need to understand the micro channels of these effects, because it's crucial to discussing both distributional impacts and also market concentration issues that we have just that we saw during the panel, for instance, that are crucial because they were crucial during the previous digital revolution. And so because we want to discuss this dimension, we want to have micro level information. And so far, many studies, actually, and many ongoing works, except for instance Flavio's work, have focused on indirect measure of AI adoption in the US. And so that's why this paper examines the relationship between AI adoption and employment at the firm level using direct measure of AI adoption, actually the same measure that Flavio is using, while documenting heterogeneity across occupation and AI uses. So more precisely, using French data, we document the characteristics of firms that adopt AI, and we find actually the same kind of results that Flavio have just shown. So they are larger, more productive, and more skill-intensive than non-adopters. And we find that firm-level AI adoption is positively associated with increases in employment and sales. With a simple difference in difference approach between two waves of adoption, we find that firms that adopt AI increase their employment and their sales by 5% more than firms in the same sector that did not adopt AI. Then we dig into heterogeneity of the effect, and as Philippe has shown us, we saw positive effect for a priori complementary occupation to AI, which was expected, but also positive effect for a priori substitutable occupations, which was quite unexpected for us. And then, because of this surprising result, we explored this missing dimension in prior research, which is the heterogeneity of the effect by type of AI use, and we found, as we have seen it this morning, that within this highly exposed occupation, some uses, such as production processes, are associated with positive employment growth, while others are linked to slightly negative effects. So Flavio actually presented a super extensive literature review, so I will go fast on this, but just to say that many studies in the US ongoing are focusing on indirect measure of adoption, so often using a resume or job posting, and so this is different perspectives they are taking, and they find mixed results. So some of these studies find positive effects of AI adoption on employment at the firm or committing zone level, and some of them find negative effects. So there is heterogeneity in the results. Regarding the data, so I will not spend much time because actually the survey we are using to look at firm-level AI adoption is the one that Flavio was just describing before me. So the Information and Communication in Technology in Business survey, the ICT survey, where we have detailed information on AI adoption categorized by seven types of usage. We match this firm-level AI adoption with employment data from the matched employer-employee data, the DADS, where we find information on the number of hours on occupation, and with balance sheet information, where we have information on industry, sales, and capital. And so we have exhaustive, these two exhaustive data sets, we match it with this survey we got for firm-level AI adoption. So I just want to spend 1 minute on this. This is a real the question asked in the survey to firms. Why do I want to show it to you? Because one could be afraid, and I think this is one of my fear for the literature using indirect measure of AI adoption, which is if you ask a firm today or 2 years ago, are you using AI? If you're the CEO and you think your firm is innovative, you don't really know what people are doing in your firm, I mean, you know that AI is a buzzword, you will answer yes, even if people are doing Excel. And so that's why they designed the survey that way. This is the European survey. And so they went from technology. It's a technology-based survey. They ask, are you doing text mining, computer vision, speech recognition, NLG, machine learning, or deep learning? And so the idea is that I'm not asking first, why are you using AI to do this or that? I'm asking, are you doing one of these technologies? And so this is smart because if you don't see one of these words, I mean, buzzing in your mind, you will answer no to this question. And so that's why I think this survey identifies real AI adoption. And then they go to why are you using AI for? So this is why. And by the way, it's also important because in this survey, we also know how firms acquire the technology. And so, for instance, we see that lots of firms are adopting ready-to-use softwares and not, as Flavio mentioned, not all firms are developing, so this is by sector, AI within the firm. And so this is also useful because we are able to document what Flavio did, the potential differential impact between ready-made software adoption and development of AI within the firm. And you can't do it only looking at, for instance, people that are developing AI through indirect measures. And so that's why we are using this measure of AI adoption. So in order to, from a theoretical point of view, so Philippe explained this this morning, if we are in the task-based framework, a la Acemoglu Restrepo, and you want to understand the effect of AI induced automation on labor, you have two counterbalancing effects. So one is the displacement effect and the other one is the productivity effect. And because on one end and by definition, AI-induced automation is labor displacing at the task level in the sense that some tasks that were previously done by human labor are now executed by machines or AI or capital, whatever you want it to be called. And this leads to a negative impact of AI on employment. But on the other hand, AI adoption leads to productivity gains, higher demand, and resulting in both higher employment and the need for implementing new tasks. And so this leads to a positive impact of AI adoption on employment. And so what we do in this project is just to assess empirically this trade-off to obtain the overall effect at the firm level of AI adoption. And so we do it in a very simple way. We rely on a balanced panel of firms that had not yet adopted AI by 2017, using the same survey, the same wave of the survey that Flavio was mentioning. And then we complement this first wave with second one in 2021 with information on 2020. And among firms that had not yet adopted AI, we know that from some of them adopted between the two waves and some of them did not. And we just perform a simple difference in difference estimation with a reference year, the last year before AI adoption. And so here are the results. So the two groups of firms that adopted AI and firms that did not adopt AI follow the same path before adoption. Then you have a time for ongoing adoption. And after adoption, firms that relied, that adopted AI, actually increased their employment by 5% more than firms that did not adopt AI. We have the same result on sales. So both employment and sales are increasing. And it's pretty very in line, as Philippe mentioned, with this productivity channel. Then we explore this heterogeneous effect using the matrix made by Antonin, adapted actually from the ILO and the IMF matrices. So I just want to just quickly come back on this matrix. So below the x-axis, you have people that are low exposed to AI. So here you find roofers, you find housekeepers, you find cooks. And so for them, we expect small productivity effect because they are not very exposed to AI, and a small displacement effect because they are not, once again, very exposed to AI, and then resulting in a low labor demand effect for these jobs. On the top right corner, you have people that are exposed to AI in a complementary way. So, for instance, economists are there. You have jurists, you have journalists, graphic designers. And so for these people, we expect a strong productivity effect, stronger than the displacement effect, leading to a positive labor demand effect for these jobs. And on the top left corner, you have accountants, telemarketers, secretaries, for instance, where you have high exposure, but in a substitutable way. And so for these jobs, we could expect that the strong displacement effect actually outweighs the positive productivity effect, leading to negative labor demand for these jobs. And so what we did, as Philippe has shown us, we just replace the outcome in the regression there, and we aggregate at the firm level the three different kinds of jobs, so low exposed, exposed and complementary, exposed and substitutable, and we redo the same estimation at the firm level. And so we find no effect for low exposed jobs, as expected. We found positive effect for highly exposed and complementary jobs, but as we have seen it this morning, we see a positive effect for highly exposed and a priori substitutable job. And so this was a very puzzling result for us. And that's why the question we had was, how can we explain the positive impact on jobs that are predicted to be negatively exposed to AI? So, of course, one first answer is to say that these matrices are prospective, based also on the latest development of AI, Gen AI, for instance, while we are measuring AI in the past. And so maybe these matrices are not capturing the same things that we are measuring. This is the first explanation. But we decided also to explore another dimension, which is the idea that for a given occupation, AI exposure might differ depending on why you are using AI, actually. And so in the survey, in addition to where you get the technology from, you also have information on why you are adopting AI for. So you have different types of AI adoption. You can adopt AI for marketing or sales, for production processes, for administration processes, management of enterprises, logistics, ICT security, or HR management. And what we saw, as Philippe explained, is that people exposed in an a priori substitutable way to AI, depending on the type of AI usage you are making, it's not the same effect at all. For these people, if you're an accountant in a firm that adopts AI among the assembly line, for you it's super good because the firm will expand, will gain market shares from its competitors, and for you, the firm will need more accountants, and so you will have more job opportunities. Same for ICT security. But if you're an accountant in a firm that decides to adopt AI for administrative processes to target especially your task, of course, for these jobs, there is no magic. I mean, at some point, you will be replaced by the technology if the technology is targeted against you. And so, in terms of policy takeaway from these graphs, our idea is the following. If you want to ask, to have ideas on how to regulate or should we regulate AI, for sure, you should not regulate the technology itself, because you want to have these productivity gains. These are positive effects, positive employment effects of AI. And so if you regulate all AI, maybe in the US or in China, they will implement these types of AI, then they will gain market shares from our firms, and it will destroy employment in Europe, but not employment all over the world. So we want these types of AI. But maybe for these types of AI, either we don't want it and then we regulate, or we need to help people that lost their jobs using this AI. And then it's flex security implementation. So I have 8 minutes left, I guess, 10, let's say 10. And so during these 10 minutes, I want to speak about some evidence we got from Denmark. So it's ongoing work on Danish data. So regarding data, I won't spend too much time because the data are actually exactly the same. So this is, once again, a European survey. And so we have the same type of survey in Denmark and in France. And so once again, this is firm-level AI adoption, this ICT survey, there is a sample of firm below 100 employees. It's exhaustive for big firms, and you have different waves with AI information, more than in France, actually. And we are able to match this data with the equivalent of the DADS in France, the matched employer-employee data that covers the universe of firms in between the same period. And of course, we will have. I mean, let this be for now, the data we are using. Then we just perform the same type of study we were doing for France, OLS. So in line with the approach used in the French data, we are using a balanced panel of firms, and we are regressing for each firm. So it's not exactly the same regression. You will understand it later, why it's not the same to be comparable with the IV. But we regress separately for each year T, the evolution, the change in the outcome, so employment, between 2018 and year T, on the adoption, the firm adoption of AI, plus a set of controls. And we found actually similar results in Denmark than in France. It was not obvious a priori. So firms that adopted AI in Denmark increased more their employment than firms that followed same employment path before and did not adopt AI in between 2019 and 2021. And of course, both in Denmark and in France, we have this limitation that the difference-in-difference approach cannot fully rule out potential demand or supply shocks that could occur exactly during the adoption year. So the fact that you have industry year fixed effect mitigates some shocks that could occur there or there, but not the very year of the adoption. You could imagine that a firm faces a strong demand from, let's say, China, and they want to say, okay, I need to be more productive, I need to produce more, I will hire more people, and I will also adopt AI because it's a new technology ongoing. And so the positive relationship we have between AI adoption and unemployment, it's only due to this positive demand shock that the firm is facing during the adoption year. And so an ideal experiment would be to assign AI adoption incentives randomly across firms. For instance, some firms, they know from, I mean, somewhere that there is this relevant software they should buy because it's super adapted to what they are doing precisely. And some firms, they don't have access to this information. And so this for sure would give an incentive for firms that have access to this information to adopt AI. And so we want to mimic this this idea using a network IV strategy. And so what's the idea of this network IV? So each firm, if you consider a firm, is connected to other firms through personal links, through their employees, actually. So you have a set of employees in a firm. So let's imagine that you have a focal firm with two employees. These employees have partners, maybe, and so these partners may work in different firms. And so you say, okay, so for instance, this employee is linked with this person, and this person works in a firm that has already adopted AI by 2018. This person in the same firm is linked to another person who is in a firm who has not adopted AI by 2018. And so the network, the spousal network of the employee of this firm is actually 0.5 exposure in terms of AI adoption. Our idea is the following. So you have people working during the day in their firm, and when they come home at night, they discuss, hopefully, with their partner, and maybe the partner say, okay, we adopted AI in our firm, it's super great, we improved processes, we are more efficient, I love my job now, and so maybe, okay, I should talk to the CEO, or I am the CEO, I should adopt AI, I should talk to the CEO because I know that this software would be super useful for us. Thank you, Antonin. And so this is the first firm. Imagine a second firm where you have three employees, two of them linked to employees that work in firms that had adopted AI by 2018, and one in a firm that had not adopted AI. For this network, it would be a 0.67 exposure share of AI through personal networks. And so From the point of view of our instrument, firm B would have stronger incentive to adopt AI than firm A we had just before. Of course, this is the ideal case. In reality, as I told you earlier, the ICT survey is a survey, and so not all firms are answering the AI question. And so for the focal firm, you have the list of employees, but sometimes it happens that the partner is linked to works in a firm that did not answer the ICT survey. And so for this, that's why, because we can't have any information on AI adoption in this firm, we are controlling from the share of linked firms that are surveyed actually by the ICT survey. Another thing that could occur is that the linked person is actually unemployed. I mean, and it could be exogenous. So we also control for the size of the network, and it could also happen that some people are not linked with anybody, and so that's why we are also controlling for the size of the network of the focal firm. And so in the end, we have this regression for each year, so the adoption of AI for a given firm in a given year, explained by this network exposure through personal links, with controls for industry level controls, local labor market controls to take into account that maybe you could have local shocks in terms of AI adoption, log employment, log number of network links to account for the size of the network, and the share of linked firms that are surveyed. And so here is the first stage. So if you want to explain adoption between 2018 and 2022, indeed, the fact that you are that you have an higher AI network exposure explains the fact that you will adopt AI in the focal firm. Here is a reduced form and the two-stage least square. So now we have the fact that indeed the network exposure instrument is explaining AI, and we then have causal effect of AI adoption on employment, given that we are able to instrument AI adoption through these personal links. Of course, you could advocate that you could have homophily. So employees may have partners that are quite similar to themselves, and these partners might also work in similar industries. So of course, we have one-digit industry, but one-digit industry fixed effect, sorry, but one-digit is only retail. So within retail, you have different types of online retail, physical retail, etc. And so you could say, okay, within very specific industries, people are just linked with each other. And so that's why, actually, AI adoption in the network that leads to AI adoption in the focal firm may simply reflect industry-level shocks. The fact that you are linked with the fact that all these people actually belong, almost all of them, to the same industry, then you only capture, once again, the demand shock at the industry level I was mentioning before. And so that's why we create random networks by preserving this dimension, so the set of people that are employed in a firm, and we randomize the spousal links within the same industry set. So for each partner, if this partner works in an industry A, I will randomly pick in the same industry whoever person who is in the employer-employee dataset. And so this is the actual first stage. If we randomize within industry, we find no effect. And so it's reassuring, because if it was only industry shock, randomizing within the same industry, we would still have the first stage, because it would have been shocks at the industry level. And so the fact that it's a pretty precisely estimated zero leads us to think that we don't only capture industry shocks. So in the 1 minute I have, I just want to come back to what I said. So firm level AI adoption is positively associated with increases in both employment and sales, but labor demand effects vary across occupation. This seems not only to be driven by inherent characteristics of occupations, like we find in these exposure matrices, but also driven by the specific uses of AI, which actually changes our perspective in terms of regulation of AI uses. And leveraging an interpersonal network IV approach in Denmark, we provide actually more than correlation, we provide evidence that firm level AI adoption has a causal effect on employment at the firm level. Yes, this is so reduce form and the two SLS. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.